Hello and welcome to Up to Date from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you up to date with the most interesting and important stories from the WVIA newsroom. Today, gardening season is in full swing, and some of the Back Mountain's best gardens will be on display this weekend. And we'll talk about inmates providing hospice care to their fellow inmates at state prison. It's Tuesday, June 24th. Let's get into it. First, we have a different sort of environmental story. The Lackawanna River Basin Sewer Authority is monitoring forever chemicals in the waste at its facilities in Lackawanna County. They're doing this voluntarily. Leaders say environmental agencies have not put regulations in place yet. The tests will prepare the facility for any state or federal requirements. WVIA's Kat Bolas took a tour.
Per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances are called PFAS. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says the thousands of widely used, long-lasting chemicals break down very slowly over time, hence the nickname forever chemicals. Plant Superintendent Robert Davis says the thousands of chemicals are in almost everything.
They are found in your clothing, they're found in your camping gear, they're found in your nonstick pans.
The Sewer Authority is working with the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection and the Mid-Atlantic Biosolids Foundation to analyze wastewater from the facility. Davis says so far their testing has found that forever chemicals at the plant are on the low side. Michael Matchak is the plant's executive director. He says the initial concern from environmental agencies was the impact of forever chemicals on drinking water.
Now that they've started to implement those standards for drinking water systems, they're starting to look, you know, more closely at the wastewater end, and particularly the biosolids.
The authority does produce biosolids, which are either sent to the landfill or to farms for fertilizer. Davis says ultimately, the authority exists to protect the environment.
That's what we do all day long. So once they come up with a regulation, we will be, you know, trying to apply that technology or whatever it might be.
Reporting from Troop, I'm Kat Bolas, WVIA News.
Thanks, Kat, for that story. You can find more of that at WVIA.org. Well, the summer heat is definitely here, and gardening season is in full swing. A handful of the best gardens in the Back Mountain of Luzerne County will offer tours to the public this weekend. WVIA's Haley O'Brien has more in her latest edition of Plant People.
Elaine's garden in Shavertown glistens on a rainy June afternoon. There are rock walls, staircases leading to different levels, and sculptures to explore.
You can get all three spinning at the same time. But it takes a little practice to get them.
Elaine asked us not to share her last name because her address is exclusive to those who buy tickets for the tour. It's hosted by the Back Mountain Bloomers Garden Club. Elaine's is one of six gardens that will be showcased Saturday. Susan French is chair for the event.
And I think gardeners, you know, we can be kind of solitary creatures in a way, because we spend a lot of time, you know, in our gardens by ourselves quite often. But it's nice to meet like-minded people who enjoy gardening and to kind of, they'll learn things from each of these gardens. There's a lot of variety in the ones that we chose this year.
Elaine's garden has water fountains and a koi pond. She's worked for 10 years to bring her vision to life with help from Huntsville Landscaping.
I kind of dream about it in bed at night.
And then I think,
oh, I could do that. And then the Huntsville guys, they tell me, no, we can't. Or yes, we can.
Gardening can be a lot of work. And until now, only a few people have had a chance to enjoy Elaine's masterpiece.
I'm glad to be able to show it to some people, that's all. Because really, most people don't ever see it. It's kind of just my secret.
To learn more about the 2025 tour of the Back Mountain Gardens, visit WVIA.org. Reporting in Luzerne County, I'm Haley O'Brien, WVIA News.
More up to date after this break.
The work we do is only possible thanks to your support. I'm Lydia McFarlane, healthcare reporter for WVIA News. We're proud to bring you the best news and information out there. Go to wvia.org/news to see for yourself.
Welcome back. Now, our news team is always pursuing the most interesting and important stories in the community, but sometimes there's more to a story than what we're able to publish online. That's where News Voices comes in, to take you behind the scenes of the reporting process and take a closer look at some of the stories we're telling. You can catch News Voices Fridays during Morning Edition, but here's the latest one, just in case you missed it.
I'm Roger Dupuis, and this is News Voices. Today, I'm here with WVIA News reporter Lydia McFarlane, who recently did a report on SCI Waymart, where they are training inmates to care for fellow inmates who are in hospice care. So tell me, in a nutshell, what the program is and what they do.
So at SCI Waymart, their healthcare staff trains inmates, and SCI Waymart has a relatively old population compared to other state prisons in the Commonwealth. So they need help caring for the older inmates, especially the ones that are in hospice, that are bedridden. So they started to train inmates to assist the nursing staff and assist the healthcare staff in taking care of their peers that are in hospice.
The average age of a Waymart inmate is 45 and a half years old, according to the superintendent.
Yep.
But about 36% of those inmates are over the age of 50, and 10% are over 65.
Right. So I, while researching this story, came across this statistic from the American Journal of Public Health that 55 is actually considered geriatric in prison because of the difficult conditions that your body is in that environment. So I thought it was interesting that they included that the 36% of inmates at Waymart are older than 50. And that's because some of those inmates can be considered geriatric.
Right. And this is not unique to Waymart, I understand.
No, the inmate population, the incarcerated population nationwide is rapidly aging. This is because there are a lot of people serving life sentences from the 70s and 80s during that age of mass incarceration from the war on drugs.
So how do inmates in the prison become eligible to participate in the training?
Yeah, so eligibility, you need to be on your best behavior to be eligible to join this program. So that means nothing on your record for the past 2 years. So you need to have good behavior, and they really want folks that are passionate about this work and really want to help out in the prison community. So it is a volunteer position. It's not paid. Unless they are working shifts where they are sitting with actively dying inmates. But besides that, the regular day-to-day of just helping these inmates with eating, changing, going to the bathroom, that's all volunteer work, and they really want to attract people that are in it for good and not for money.
One of the things that I know you stressed in your story that came across to me loud and clear was that dying with dignity is so important to all of us, really, right? But especially to folks who are inside the prison.
Something that struck me was that the staff of the prison said repeatedly to me that we are not the judges. The judge already came down with their ruling, and we're not here to judge these inmates. The superintendent said, we're here to rehabilitate them. We're here to give them opportunities to become better people and not necessarily punish them, but to help rehabilitate them. Their punishment is being here. So we want to give them opportunities to better themselves.
Right. And one of the folks that you talked to said he wants the inmates to understand that you have to brace yourself to hear some difficult things when you're participating in this program.
Yeah, so that particular inmate, he told me that sitting with some of these inmates that are dying, you hear things that, you know, it might not necessarily be a confession about the crime they committed, but just trying to clear their conscience about the wrongs that they've done in their life. And maybe it is a confession about something that they did to land themselves behind bars. So he just said it's really important to have an open mind. And what struck me from my conversation with him was that, you know, he told me that all of them as inmates, they know what they did wrong. They know why they're behind bars, and no one's going to make them feel as guilty as they already do themselves. So he just stressed the importance of being open-minded and not judging a fellow inmate for the crime they might have committed or some of the things they might be wanting to get off their chests at the end of their lives.
One of the things I want to close on is that you talked about how the hospice unit really looked like a nursing home.
If I didn't have the context of having gone through the security and gone through the prison, just seeing the beds and the older inmates that were bedridden, it really did look like a nursing home.
Lydia, thanks for being here today.
All right, I hope you're feeling up to date. Find these stories and more at WVIA.org. or on the WVIA mobile app. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me here on Up to Date today. Now, if you want to stay in the know, make sure you subscribe and tune in every weekday wherever you find your favorite podcasts. It's another day of the heat wave, so enjoy your day and stay cool if you can. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.